Hey, welcome to the More Than Money podcast. This is Chris Burns. Hope you're having a great week. Thank you so much for joining us for a little bit. Show today is about something dear to my heart, and that is how can you live without anxiety? And some of you are listening going, what in the world does that have to do with finance? Well, so many people I meet with walk in filled with anxiety about their future. Sometimes that's just because they don't know. They have a lot of unanswered questions. Sometimes it's because other groups or people or firms they're working with are intentionally causing them to feel anxiety. I see this a lot. I'm going to tell you some stories on this show of folks that I'm working with right now who have been made to feel anxiety by folks they're working with about their future because fear sells. Fear sells. And so if somebody can make you feel anxious and so you keep coming back to them because of that, they win long term. And that is no way to live. Let me tell you, I grew up with a crazy amount of anxiety. I inherited some good anxiety genes from my family, and I was a super anxious kid. I remember so many nights just having terror at night and being scared, and I see that I've passed some of that to my kids. And so living without anxiety is core to what I believe about quality of life. How do you even put a price tag on that, right? That I meet people that are very, very well off, but they live with constant anxiety. And one of the main goals I have whenever we sit down with anyone is that they can walk into their future, whether they're in retirement or they're looking towards the future, a young person, and wake up in the morning and not be filled with anxiety. Feel peace about the direction that you're walking in. That is quality of life, and that's crucial. So we're going to dig into that on the show today. If you have any questions about your situation as you listen to the show, take a minute, jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can ask anything. I will get back to you personally. Again, mylifeismore.com. And enjoy the show. All right. I want to transition into something a little more serious that I see often with clients, but I've had a few clients and really in the last few weeks. And often the way that I pick topics for this show is just what I hear from clients walking in. Something that really drove me crazy, I want to tell you about. And that is, how has fear more and more been used to sell financial products? Now, this is as old as time, right? Fear sells. Anxiety sells. We see this historically in everything from how governments run to how products are sold, et cetera, to how relationships happen. Fear has dramatic impact, but fear is a dangerous, dangerous motivator, especially when you're making important financial decisions for the future. So I want to talk about this for a second. Okay, I had a client come in. We will call her Jennifer. She came in this week. Okay, years and years ago, she had what's called a structured settlement. So she was had a medical procedure done. The doctor made a mistake. It was a significant mistake. You hear often of, you know, I think there's kind of a stigma in our culture about medical malpractice and, oh, you sued a doctor and you shouldn't have. In this case, it was a very clear error and it had a dramatic long-term impact on Jennifer, okay? So Jennifer, as rightly she should have, went through the courts and ended up getting a structured settlement, just meaning that she's getting a payout now. It's an annuity, in essence. It's a pension of sorts, a lifetime payout because of this settlement. So every month she gets a certain amount of money, okay? Well, she is now close to retirement age and she came in filled with anxiety. And the reason she had anxiety was, I am terrified that I'm going to lose this payout. And it's a big part of my retirement picture. Excuse me. And I said, well, what's making you concerned that it's going to change? You've been getting it all these years. And she said, I've been getting constant mail, like constant mail, letting me know that it's in danger and that it could well go away. And I don't know what I'm going to do in retirement if this goes away. I said, wow, okay, let me see what you're talking about. She brought with her just this week's worth of mail. Okay, just mail she'd received related to that structured settlement just this week. So five different pieces of mail. And by the way, she met early this week. So this is in the first few days of the week. Let me read you two different pieces she got. The first is a shameless sales tactic, but at least it's clearly a sales tactic, okay? She got a letter on the envelope. It said, urgent information, expiration pending. Okay, so now something's about to expire. Check enclosed, it says in the envelope. Okay. And then in big bold letters, please do not discard. And you can see the check through the envelope. So it looks like, oh, there's a check. What's going on? So you open it up and there's a check for a whole lot of money paid out to this client. Okay. And it says advance check in the memo and it looks like it's ready to cash. And then it says, if you read the rest of it, claim voucher. And then for a limited time only, you might be able to access this claim. Okay. It's just a sales check. But the key here is this, that when she got it, the way it's written up, the way it looks is literally like there's some sort of problem. She's about to lose an offer. She needs to know what it is. Something's about to expire. It's really done in a way that would make you want to look at it and see what's going on here. Okay. But it's really, in essence, just someone trying to buy out her settlement. Because when you have a settlement like that, you can sell it to a company, right? They can buy it from you and give you a lump sum of cash instead. So they're offering to give her a lump sum of cash and take that lifetime payout instead, which would be a terrible idea for this client. So this is one piece, but then the other one was far more damning. I can't believe this. I can, but it's remarkable. Okay, there's the other letter she had. She had five different letters. Another one said on the top, research and recovery department. And then, dear so-and-so, your case has been flagged to receive a credit audit by our underwriters for 2017. We have assigned a representative that can assist you in document retrieval to verify and complete this audit process. Please call this number. Then listen to this. This audit is extremely important to verifying your remaining payment streams for 2018. We appreciate your cooperation in advance. This is a load of nonsense. So this woman who depends on this structured payout for her retirement, she's now at the age of retirement, okay? So she's now at the age of really, truly relying on these funds because she's stopping working. This letter makes it sound like she's being audited. By the way, when you hear audit, that's always a negative connotation. Something is wrong. You're being audited. This is extremely important to verifying your payment streams. This is a sales pitch, and it's preying on her fear because she's worried now she's not going to have money for the rest of her life because these bozos want to pay her some lump sum to take away the only money that she has and can guarantee. They want to give her some sort of a lump sum, which is going to sound fine up front, and then she's going to run out of money and not have it anymore because these jerks want to sell her a product. And this stuff's convincing. You read this and you go, wow, I might have an actual issue here. It's just a sales pitch from a private company. First of all, it's amazing they can do this. This is right on the edge of legal versus illegal. But it's a fear tactic. And some of you listen to this and go, I would never fall for that. I would never make a decision based on that. Okay, so maybe that's the case. And thankfully, this woman came in and we were able to talk about it and say, this is nonsense. I'm going to tell you how to, if you're receiving letters like this, even if they're just annoying, how to fix that. But also in more subtle ways, how is fear informing us? Because this stuff really matters. First, if you're just joining us, this is Chris Burns. You're listening to More Than Money. And we're talking about how in the world do you make decisions for the future without having fear be the inspiration? Because it can wreck you. I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do, but if you missed any part of this show, go to our website. It's mylifeismore.com. You can listen to all past shows. You can also ask any questions about your situation. Again, it's mylifeismore.com. So this drives me insane. They're preying on this woman who is relying on this income because she was, you know, hurt years ago, and now they're trying to take away all she needs. First of all, if you're receiving letters like this, whether it's because of a settlement or just because you're nearing retirement and suddenly you're on everybody's list for financial seminars, for offers of credit, et cetera, the best thing to do to at least reduce dramatically the amount of letters and junk mail that you get like this is to actually go take action. This is what I had her do. If you go to the Federal Trade Commission's website, it's just consumer.ftc.gov. There's a whole part of that page. Again, consumer.ftc.gov. There's a whole part of that website devoted to telling you how to stop unsolicited mail, phone calls, and email. Will it get all of them? No. Will it stop everything? No. But it can reduce this nonsense. This woman should not be receiving threatening mail constantly that she has to sift through. And then when she gets one piece of regular mail that she needs from the actual people involved in the settlement, she doesn't even know if it's real because she's getting so much fake crap from all these other folks. Okay. If you want to reduce that, again, go to the Federal Trade Commission website. They will walk you through how you can go through and eliminate a lot of that junk under privacy, identity, and online security, which is one of the bullet points. They have a whole section on stopping this stuff. So check that out. And then I had the client do that. But fear tactics aren't always that clear. What I find is sometimes the more subtle stuff, using anxiety in more of a subtle way, can be just as damaging, and a lot of folks fall prey. Let me talk about that for just a second. Because obviously, if she were to follow through on any of these letters that were based on fear, it would be devastating long-term for her. She would be devastated, but often it's not this clear, right? So let me give you another example. Another client I had come in just in the last few weeks, what we would call him John. John just received a significant inheritance, okay? And all of us kind of, you know, people, he might dream of that. You're like, I'm never going to get that. John had that crazy situation where he's been working for years and years and years, but he just received a pretty significant inheritance. He knew it was coming, but didn't quite know all the specifics. So now he sat down recently and met with a financial team that had been working with his family, and they now wanted to explain to him his situation. John is receiving a lot of money. Enough that anybody else more, that walked into my office would go, many people that walked in would feel very comfortable financially if they were receiving an inheritance like this. But John walked in full of anxiety. Now, I understand a level of anxiety because it's, what do I do? I've never had this kind of money before. How do I handle this? And that's totally normal. But his anxiety was true fear that he was going to run out of money. Now, on its face, if you were to look at the amount of money he just received, you would say, why are you worried about this? You have plenty. But he had tons of anxiety about it. And the reason was because when he sat down with these financial advisors, they basically told him, John, this seems like a lot of money, but if you take more than this amount, and they gave him an exact amount he could take every year, if you take more than this, you run a high risk of running out of funds. And I said, John, pause. Don't tell me anymore. Before you say anything else, do you know what fees they're charging? So John then describes to me the fees that are being charged for this significant amount of money. Now, he only knows a percentage, but then I just put it on the whiteboard and said, okay, if they're charging you this percentage on this amount of money, here is the dollar amount coming to their firm every year. And he looked at that and he kind of gasped, holy cow, that's a lot of money. And I said, now, John, if they're getting paid this much money every year to manage your funds, why do you think they would tell you you can only take this reduced amount every year, or else you might run out? And he said, well, I guess because if I take more than that, their fee goes down and the lights go off. Right now, I am not in any way saying that he should be able to take as much as he wants every year. And I'm not saying that every financial firm is out to get you, because I am a financial firm, right? In fact, there's a lot of amazing financial firms that aren't doing this. But they have no right to scare him into thinking that he has no funds. He literally came in and said to me before we dug into this, I'm thinking I might need to go get a part-time job to supplement. Literally going and working at Publix or Kroger part-time is what he brought up to me. Seriously, to supplement the money, because he's so worried he's not going to be enough, and he has plenty of money. That's fear. If he made a decision based on that, what would his quality of life look like? If he decided to, okay, I can only take this much. Here's how you identify fear. Fear-based tactics always exist when whatever answer you have to them doesn't relieve the anxiety. If John went and got a part-time job, would he have less anxiety about running out of money? No. Because the way they've told him is that we just never know. We got to be super careful. We could always run out. He's going to live constantly with anxiety about running out of money. By the way, do some of you feel this right now? As you think about your future, is the number one fear in your mind, am I going to have enough or am I going to run out of money? That doesn't go away, does it? It just keeps dogging at you. And the solutions they were giving him were only going to increase that anxiety over time. Plus, quality of life dropped dramatically. So I had to turn this on myself, because I can't sit and yell about people using fear-based tactics and not turn the camera, the lens back on me, a mirror, I don't know what that metaphor is, turn it back on me and say, well, am I doing this? Do we do this? Because there are definitely times I've talked with clients and told them sobering, honest realities that may have caused fear. And am I doing this? And I think what I've come to, let me give you a few examples, but I think there's a difference between anxiety as motivation and true concern as motivation. And I don't mean because I always am so concerned. I mean, there's a difference between feeling anxiety about something or concern about something. Okay, and let me show you the difference. So I have two clients that popped into my mind that would be what I would say is they should truly have had concern.
And I expressed to both of these clients, don't leave my office, please, with terror, because that's not going to help anything. But you should be concerned. Let me give you two examples. One is early in my career, talking with a gentleman about life insurance. And he was vastly underinsured. He did not have enough insurance. And so I said to him, we'll call him Don. I said, Don, you need to, you're married, you have, in his case, three children. Your family does not have the assets to support itself. If something were to happen to you, you need to have more life insurance coverage. And he agreed, but he kept putting it off. And finally, he agreed to a set meeting with me. He said, all right, we will meet on this Monday. And we knocked out a time. And then on the Friday previous, he said, hey, I'm so sorry to move it again, but I have a doctor's appointment that I have to go to on Monday. So let's reschedule for later in the week. I said, fine. He called me on Tuesday, said, actually, it seems more serious than they thought. Then come to find out within the following week to 2 weeks that he had cancer. And so now he could not apply for more life insurance. And then he ended up passing away. And that was sobering to me. I don't tell that story in any sort of light way. That was incredibly impactful to me early on in this industry to go, wow, this really matters. What I tell people really matters because it made an actual, real, tangible difference in their life that he never got that insurance. And yet, you can be abusive in this, right? How many advisors go to people and say, you need to get life insurance because if you die, and they use that as a fear tactic. So I have talked with many clients about this issue, but I always say it in a way of, hey, look, you can solve this. If we get an appropriate level of coverage, not some crazy amount, but an appropriate level of coverage, this concern will go away and you won't have to live with it anymore. That's very different, right? We address the concern. It's an actual real concern, and it goes away. Let me give you another example of this. Another client and his wife came in recently. We'll call them Tim and Kelly. They are about to retire. They had enough assets to retire. They were ready to go. But when we reviewed their risk, they were taking a ton of risk in their investments. If a major drop happened in the market, it would truly change the scope of their retirement. But if they would just lower that risk level, then they really were in good shape. And I said to them, this is a concern. We can make a real change if we lower the level of risk you're taking, and then we've knocked out one of the primary concerns you would have. And they made that change, and there's a ton of peace with that. Here's the deal. When you address a concern, you feel peace. But when you feed anxiety, it grows. So look at your own life for a second. In your finances, in your world, as you plan for the future, are you driven by anxiety? Or do you have concerns? And is the person that you're working with helping you address those concerns so you truly have peace? Or are they just feeding that anxiety for some sort of gain on their end? Because that is no way to live. That is no way to address your future. If you don't have peace about your future, please take a minute. I would love to sit down and talk with you about your situation. You can jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com and sign up for a free consultation with me, Chris Burns, where we'll talk about this. And we'll discuss, what are you doing? What's your plan for the future? Do you have peace? Are there real challenges that you're facing? Are there things that you have anxiety about right now? Can we address those things, not so that you continue to have anxiety long term, but so that you can truly look at your life, at your future, and have peace? I've done that with hundreds of clients, and I've seen the difference between living and making decisions based out of anxiety and actually addressing concerns and feeling true peace as you walk forward. If you desire that, again, jump on my website. It's mylifeismore.com. I would love to sit down and talk with you about that.